This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington, and happy 4th of July weekend to you. Jim Inman here in the studio. Friday, July 3rd, or Saturday morning, Independence Day, July 4th, 2015. And it is right in the middle of a three-day weekend, or some people are fortunate enough to have a four-day weekend. Some of you may not so much, and I apologize in advance for my enthusiasm for having a little bit of a break, but hopefully you get a little bit of time in, everyone who's listening right now, and can enjoy the fireworks and the show this Friday night or Saturday evening. There's all kinds of things going on in the community, which we'll talk about in just a little bit here on the program. But regardless, happy Independence Day to the United States of America. It's also the start of fair season. Hard to believe, but the Owen County Fair begins on Saturday, just west of Bloomington. Greene County Fair is beginning July 10th. Lawrence County starts on the 18th. Monroe County, July 25th. The Brown County Fair, July 26th. Morgan County Fair, the end of July on the 31st. And then the Indiana State Fair, August 7th through the 23rd. And it's kind of, it seems like it's earlier, which I'm sure it is, but also it's kind of unfortunate because so many schools are going back earlier that I don't know how they're going to work out the state fair and the kids who have exhibits and things like that if their schools are starting back up early. Keith Klein and Sue Wanzer were on Glass in the Morning earlier this week and talked about how we're less than a month away from MCCSC starting back up for the 2015-16 school year. It does sound a little bit odd, doesn't it, that we're starting back up so early in August, but that's what it is, everybody. But we'll talk more about fairs over the coming weeks. But yes, it is July, which means fair season in full swing. And if you're a Hoosier, you know exactly what I'm talking about, the good stuff out at your local county fair. Mr. Piller is on moving duty, I believe he told me, helping somebody in his family do some moving from point A to point B or something like that, so he's not in the studio this week. However, excited to have our rescheduled guest from last week, Cullen McCarty. He's the Executive Vice President of Smithville Fiber, joining us here in the studio in just a little bit. We took advantage of his schedule and had Cullen come in earlier in the week to record the show, just because with his travel so much and accommodating his time and everything, I appreciated that. So we have a great conversation with Cullen here in just a little bit, talking about the new high-speed internet opportunity, connectivity that's going on the north side of Bloomington. We'll also just talk about the way of the world and the evolution of connectivity across the globe. You know, when I started working for David Hayes back in the early 2000s, that was the early stages of a global market, so to speak. You weren't so much, if you were doing any kind of investing, you weren't looking at China, Japan, Germany, Greece, all these different things so much. A lot of people were more focused on what was available in the United States. But the way we are so connected anymore, that's just part of what the world is. And that, I'm just talking on the investment side. How many people do you know whose kids participate in mission trips or go on vacations or learning experiences, and they travel all over the world for a week, 2 weeks, 10 days, whatever, but they're sending back photos or video virtually instantly after it was taken across the globe? That's just amazing to me sometimes. And I think back, I was on the Glass in the Morning show this morning, Friday morning, and we were talking about drop an ad at IU, and how 20 years ago, 21 years ago, when I started at IU, drop an ad was not computerized at all. You had to go into the Hyper Building and take cards around in different locations and things like that. It's evolved so quickly over the last 20 years. I'm getting ahead of myself, but the point being, that's what Cullen's going to talk about here in just a little bit. A great guy, wonderful supporter of Bloomington, Monroe County, Ellettsville. Just a good guy, good family, and so we're very happy to have him on board here in just a little bit. We'll also talk later on in the show about the fireworks exhibits and all the events taking place this weekend around Bloomington and Monroe County. If you're catching us Friday night and you're still undecided what to do, well, we'll give you some highlights of some of the things that are happening this weekend for the 4th of July Independence Day. The big thing, of course, though, personally for me, a favorite is the 4th of July parade, which takes place at 9 o'clock on Saturday, Independence Day, July 4th. Starts out at 7th Street down towards campus, comes west up to the downtown area, does a little jog from 7th Street to Walnut 8th Street, then south on College. But one of the best spots is where Keith Klein and I will be in front of Fountain Square Mall on Kirkwood. So if you make it to the Courthouse Square, 8:30 Saturday morning, community band starts at 9 o'clock. Keith and I will be doing some announcing beforehand, and then we will welcome everyone. There'll be the formal ceremonies and the flag and the 21-gun salute, all of that taking place there on Kirkwood Avenue in front of Fountain Square Mall Saturday morning. So please come out to the 4th of July parade. It's a great piece of Americana. It's a great eclectic parade. Lots of good music, lots of great parade floats and exhibits and things like that. So just take the effort, take the time, come out and do it, and start off your 4th of July weekend with us downtown. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. You can catch up on any of our past shows there. You can also like us, tweet us, follow us, Facebook us, all of that good stuff. And speaking of, we are streaming 24/7 at WGCLradio.com. So make sure that you head over there and listen to any of the past shows. You can also catch up with Glass in the Morning, interviews, In the Zone, Your Money with David Hayes. All of that is available over there at WGCLradio.com. We're going to take a break. When we come back, let's get you some local news on some different things taking place around Bloomington and the community. Later on, as I mentioned, Cullen McCarty from Smithville Fiber will be on the show. A little bit of sports news, the big news out of the Pacers, if I get my page flipped because I want to make sure I pronounce his name right. Monta Ellis looks like he's going to be coming to Indianapolis and joining the Pacers team. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in a little bit. Stay with us. Plenty to do. And lots of fun in doing it. This is Jim Inman. This is the Bloomington Review. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio, and in just a few minutes, Cullen McCarty from Smithville Fiber will be joining us. Forecast for the weekend is looking pretty snazzy. I've got to say, Friday night, tonight, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m., low around 62. Saturday, Independence Day, mostly sunny, high near 81 with a light wind. Saturday night, partly cloudy, low around 62. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny, high near 84. Looks like some rain early on next week, but nothing too dramatic. Of course, all your weather, all the time, right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLradio.com. The U.S. Department of Justice filed suit on Wednesday to stop Swedish appliance giant Electrolux from acquiring GE's appliance division, which includes the Bloomington refrigerator factory. Article in the Herald Times this week, and through a news release, Deputy Assistant Attorney General Leslie Overton of the Justice Department's Antitrust Division said the sale, quote, would leave millions of Americans vulnerable to price increases for ranges, cooktops, and wall ovens, products that serve an important role in family life and represent large purchases for many households. Now, Overton said that the department is seeking to stop the deal because it would create a, quote, duopoly in the sale of such large ticket items that would lead to additional costs for retail customers. Included in the $3.3 billion sale, which would end GE's long run in consumer appliance sales, would be the GE Appliance Park campus in Louisville. And that employs more than 7,000 workers in all of GE's other appliance manufacturing sites in the United States. This, of course, includes the Bloomington refrigerator factory that we mentioned earlier. Bill Fairbairn, who is the president and business manager of Local 2249 of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Works, they represent the workers, believes that the Bloomington plant is slated for closure regardless of who owns it, but nevertheless, the Justice Department action is positive, he said Wednesday afternoon, shortly after getting word of the lawsuit. Fairbairn said in the Herald Times, "We're still trying to figure it out, but he thinks that the lawsuit likely will delay the sale if it doesn't kill it. Every month the deal is pushed back allows union members to gain another month of seniority, a very important factor in retirement and plan closure benefits." Some action out on campus this week. A man reported that he was shot in the head with a pellet gun and punched by four males on Tuesday night. The 25-year-old man was not injured, declined medical attention, according to Bloomington Police Captain Joe Qualters. In the Herald Times this week, the man told police he was walking home from campus, encountered four males at Atwater and Fess Avenues just after 10 p.m. on Tuesday. He said they first threatened him with what appeared to be a black handgun, and he reported feeling something hit his head, thought it was a rock, but realized that they were actually armed with a pellet gun. He said the group crossed the street and someone punched him in the head before fleeing on foot on Fess Avenue. There is video surveillance footage that was taken. The suspects were described as being black males in their teens or early 20s with short hair, Two of the suspects wore gym shorts, and a third suspect had a black T-shirt on. If you have any information, call Bloomington Police, 812-339-4477. Statewide coverage. State School Superintendent Glenda Ritz asked the Indiana Board of Education on Wednesday to not give lower A through F performance grades to schools for a year because of an expected drop in student standardized test scores. From the Indianapolis Star, Ritz proposed to board members that individual schools receive an updated A through F grade only if it was improved from the grade given in 2014. She cited an anticipated score decline with changes to the ISTEP exam taken this spring and wants schools to have more transition time. Many schools could drop two-letter grades with even a slight decline in student scores, Ritz said, and the number of schools receiving an F could jump from the current 87 to nearly 150. That would leave many communities around the state with schools wrongly labeled as failing, she said. Ritz says in the Indianapolis Star article, "We are assessing new standards, and I don't want to give a false impression of what our schools really actually are doing in terms of student performance." The board isn't expected to decide on the proposal until this fall, but did vote on Wednesday to ask the state attorney general's office to review its options under Indiana's school assessment laws. Board member Gordon Hendry said he was willing to delve into options for making the school grades fair, but was concerned about the equity of not giving any lower grades for a year. Hendry, who was appointed by Governor Mike Pence, said that doesn't really seem to be a fair way to approach it. Have you heard of P.J. Granger? Granger, I believe it is. He's the man that y'all kind of want to be, and I just said y'all on the radio, but we're going to go with it anyway. He is the guy from Bedford who has made it through the qualifying rounds of the NBC show American Ninja Warrior and has earned a spot on the Las Vegas finals. If he makes it through the obstacle course in the finals, he will win $1 million. The finals will run on a four-stage course that's modeled after Mount Midoriyama, if I'm pronouncing that right, in Japan. And the finals are going to air later this summer, but were taped last week, according to the Herald Times. Granger earned a spot on the show in May. He then had to compete against others in six different obstacle courses and make it to the regional finals, which were taped in advance and aired Monday night on ABC. So congratulations to him for at least having the physical ability to do it, and hopefully we will see him coming home a little bit richer as well in the future. Fireworks this weekend. I mentioned this in the first segment. Let's give you a rundown of what's going on for the 239th birthday of the United States of America. Bloomington Speedway, Friday night. The gates open for the race about 5:30. Fireworks taking place a little before 10 p.m. General admission, $15 for that. Sherwood Oaks Christian Church, fireworks display Friday night at 10 o'clock. Food is going to be on sale starting at 7 p.m. and lasting through the evening. Bring your lawn chairs there. Southside Christian Church, their gates will open at 6 p.m. as well. They will have food and entertainment and then fireworks at dusk. Saturday, July 4th, of course, we have the 4th of July parade, 9 o'clock on the Courthouse Square. Bloomington Elks Lodge will have their annual fish fry starting at 11 o'clock, just after the parade ends, and that'll go till about 2 o'clock or so. Proceeds for that go to the Special Olympics for the third consecutive year. If you want to head out to the Monroe County Fairgrounds, gates open at 6 p.m., and then there will be entertainment and food available. Fireworks this year will begin a little after dusk. And that is a donation option there to pay for those fireworks. Around the area, Ellettsville fireworks taking place on Saturday evening at the Edgewood High School football field. Admission is free. I do believe they're asking for donations. They are asking for donations there. The Greene County fireworks happen at 10 p.m. on Friday evening, July 3rd, tonight. So you can check that out in Greene County. They do a great show there. Brown County Lions Club will be doing a show Saturday at the Brown County High School football field. Free of charge, donations welcome. And Linton Stockton Chamber of Commerce doing theirs on Saturday evening as well, 10:30 p.m. Linton City Park. We'll put all of this information at facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. Look for the fireworks information link there. We're going to come back with Cullen McCarty from Smithville Fiber. Stay with us here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio. And last week we had a little bit of a scheduling glitch, so to speak, thanks to the friendly skies. But very glad to have in the studio my friend and the Executive Vice President of Smithville Fiber, Mr. Colin McCarty. How are you, sir, and welcome back to Bloomington.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
You were in, you said before the break that you were in D.C. for work, and you go out about every 3 months or so, is
yeah,
that right?
Just about, yeah.
What is your engagement in D.C. for what you do in terms of technology and communications and connectivity?
Well, increasingly, Jim, the FCC has played a role in setting policy for communications companies. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the Open Internet Order, which created a lot of chaos in the order process for the FCC. There are other issues regarding rural carriers that affect us, and we have to advocate for ourselves.
Sure.
Because we don't have the rural policymakers anymore we used to as more people move into cities and towns. So I'm out there every quarter just trying to keep us in the mix, and mostly on Capitol Hill. But yeah, the weather did not want to cooperate.
Okay.
The Potomac monsoons just and mechanical. I appreciate U.S. Airways wanting to be safe.
Sure,
but I have a schedule. No,
know you were supposed to be on the air last?
I know exactly. How inconsiderate. So no, it's good to be here, and it's always good to be back home. I like Washington. Don't necessarily like what happens there.
Right.
But I know things do happen, and we try to make those things happen.
Understood.
For any customers.
Well, the reason I wanted to have Cullen on is not just because he's a great guy and very familiar with connectivity and the internet and all of those things. And I say that very broadly because there are so many components of it. But also, and we'll talk about this later on in the program, about the Blue Ridge Partnership that Smithville has created.
Sure.
Up on the north side of town. First, though, I think one of the big things to me is just how connectivity to the internet, which means to the entire world, has evolved over the last 20 years. I mean, starting off, you know, 1994, 95, it was dial-up modem and fighting to get a computer if you were a student at IU like I was. Mm-hmm. And so how has this evolution really been for your organization? And just, I mean, what have you seen over the last 20 years that really has amazed you the most?
Well,
is it the speed?
Back,
is it the connect? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the whole thing, really. And because the ecosystem is so big. When mm-hmm. you talk about the internet, it is the entire ecosystem. It's not just connectivity. It's the applications that are there. Over the past 20 years, it's been phenomenal. When you think about the speeds with which, when we started dial-up service, the industry had just gotten to 28.8
mm-hmm.
kilobits per second.
Yes.
And that was fast. AOL was still very popular at that time,
mm-hmm.
and now it's a part of Verizon.
I think they still send me CDs in the mail.
Probably. Probably. Yeah, they in Columbia House, they kind of get stuck there. but no, I think we progressed so far within only 20 years. I think that's what's amazing. And
mm-hmm.
I guess we continue to make that progress. I don't even think about it until we started to prep for this interview. And I think, well, it's been a little under 20 years, and we have gone from these noisy dial-up modems
right.
that took up space to this incredible technology that travels at the speed of light to enable speeds that are thousands of times faster that will enable all these great devices to communicate in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And just within that short time span, probably when you look back historically at the time, let's say analogous to when we went to the moon in 1969, well, let's go back. That was 1969. 1949, where were we in 1949? Well, we were
coming out of World War II.
Coming out of World War II, trying to save Europe.
Yes.
And we had rescued Dr. von Braun and his associates. And they had developed rocketry in Germany in the 1930s and 40s. But from the time the end of the war to the time we landed on the moon took 24 years. So think about it. That's how I think about it. And that time span, we're not to the quarter century mark. We're the 20 years.
Right.
We have gone so far with the internet. The internet has literally changed the world in which we live. And it's enabled so much in terms of access and freedoms and you name it.
Right.
But that is really the most amazing thing. And I have to take a step back because, like I said, I'm in it all the time. And it's what's next, what's next, what's next. And you don't think about it.
You really don't.
No.
Well, and that's the thing also. I mean, I'm sitting here in the studio talking with you and my cell phone sitting on the table, and I can get on that thing and in a matter of seconds find out about any little tidbit of information in the world.
Right.
I can look anything up, whatever. And not talking about the device itself, but just the ability to connect to things. Are we getting close to the fastest speed available for connectivity, either even wireless versus fiber optics or things like that? Because it seems like things happen almost instantly anymore. I don't know how much faster you could go.
Well, you can't go faster. There would probably be some physicists who would disagree. But I don't think the speed of light is as fast as you can get right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the future it's going to be capacity. Because when you think about cell towers having to carry 4G, it takes a lot.
Sure.
Okay? And even when you're maxed out on users, those users are pulling in a lot of data. Mm-hmm. And look at Facebook and how they focused on the mobile market. You can scroll your Facebook feed and, oh, somebody has posted a movie, you know, or a clip. Well, that takes bandwidth.
Right.
And so it's really a matter of capacity moving forward. We've gone about as fast as we can go.
So it's now a matter of if the car is going as fast as it can be or the jumbo jet airliner carrying 800 passengers and all their luggage and things like that, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talking with Colin McCarty from Smithville Fiber, who's the executive vice president there. I just had a variety of questions I wanted to ask him about. And before we take a break and talk about the Blue Ridge partnership, I had a couple other things here, and I'm glancing at my notes. More and more people are going to cell phones. Landlines are disappearing. And I know Smithville, that was one of the starting points of that organization. Are landlines going to have a place in the world, do you think, in the future? Or what are you seeing with that trend?
Well, fiber is a landline.
Okay.
So it's really the application that's being used. There are so many terms that don't match up anymore.
Right.
Cord cutting.
I'm glad you addressed that because there are so many things that, like, I thought that was the same as that. And
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Dial up was never dialing. Okay, dialing was what you did with a rotary dial.
Okay.
That's what it meant, right?
True.
So you think upon on that same plane, the landline is still relevant because cable companies still advertise phone service, and that's mm-hmm. over their terrestrial wire.
Sure.
Vonage, they've been mobile for a few years, but within the first decade of their existence, it was about voice over internet protocol over a phone line.
Okay.
So people use landlines for different things, and businesses are still intensely landline. I mean, they want the ability now to expand that presence to mobile so you can be flexible with your communications. But landlines are still relevant. It's just not from the old telephone perspective anymore that they used to be.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, there is a partnership that has begun with Smithville Fiber and Blue Ridge community up on the north side of Bloomington. We'll talk about how that came about, what the residents there are going to be experiencing when that is all complete, and a little bit more with Colin McCarty from Smithville Fiber. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here in the studio, along with Colin McCarty here. He is the Executive Vice President of Smithville Fiber, and I've known Colin for many, many years. I have a lot of connections through being Ellettsville boys and all of that. And when the newspaper announced the story a few weeks back out at Blue Ridge, and I know you were out there for the kickoff event and everything, mm-hmm. it really sounds like this could be the best option around in terms of connectivity and things like that, just the equipment and the technology and all of that. How did this whole thing come about? Because I know that it started off with a partnership, but also the fact that the residents wanted something like this in their community as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. To start, we can come to Bloomington providing this service to residential areas because it's an economic issue from that standpoint, because we're not regulated from a telephone perspective like we are in our rural areas.
Mm-hmm.
So next door in Ellettsville, it's a different ball game than it is here in Bloomington. So that's the foundation. Blue Ridge, the neighborhood association, approached us about providing service as a third provider. There are two incumbents there who were not providing service to, you know, the satisfaction of the association and the community as a whole, really.
Mm-hmm.
So we agreed. We said, okay, we've done a similar project within our territory, up at Windsor, just outside of Oliver Winery's entrance. And that was outside of our original scope for our Fiber at the Home project, but they approached us, their neighborhood association. So we took that same presentation, went to Blue Ridge, and Blue Ridge said, let's get engaged. Let's do this and be a part of it. So we worked the numbers for them, and they agreed to what we presented. And in short, we had an agreement to get our equipment in there and do some engineering and start the process. And, oh, by the way, Blue Ridge, we do need a list of people. That's, you know, that would be very helpful.
Right.
So you have X threshold, and if you meet that threshold, we'll come in. If you do not meet that, we won't. And we give credit to Google for doing that in Kansas City with their fiberhoods, where they would have a certain percentage, people would pay money up front. And if the threshold wasn't met, even by one household, Google would walk away. Now, we probably would allow some room, but the threshold was exceeded. We didn't have to worry about it. So it, just like a neighborhood back in the day wanting water or sewer, a sewer line put in the neighborhood, it's the same principle. It's economic. And so what we're offering is a data connection. That's all we ask, is that they take a data connection. It's a gigabit of internet service, and it's symmetric, gigabit up, gigabit down. We'll put in a gateway inside your house. In the old days, we would have put a box outside next to the electric meter and next to the cable TV. We would replace your phone module with a, or in this case, an AT&T phone module, and put it next to that. No more. This vendor we use, Calix, out of Petaluma, California, they've developed a great technology that enables us to put that device inside the home. So we run the fiber into the home, into this box, and it becomes your gateway and your router. So it's a gigabit. You can have multiple HDTVs running, multiple tablet devices, phones. You know, that's a lot of bandwidth for a household.
And does not require a rewiring of tearing into drywall or anything like that for the home at all.
Correct. The only challenge is getting to a placement of that box.
Sure.
Where do we put that box? And so we try to abide by, you know, and respect the homeowner's wishes. And there are certain specs that we have to meet, and we have to be careful. So those are details. But this technology enables us to, if there's a problem with it, we can access it remotely, get in and take care of it, and you're all done. There's no, you know, anybody needs to reset it. There is a reset button, like everything else has, but you know what I'm saying. We can manage the network from there. Of course, we don't know what goes in and out. We know there are bits, and we know there are bits, and there's light coming in. We're good. That's all we care about. And it's a great service for the customer. It's a great convenience for the customer because, and for us, we don't have to go in and rewire, like you said. It's a lot less time-consuming. We can get things done quicker. We're not as intrusive. And the same goes on the outside. The contractor, Lineal, out of Bedford, who's doing the work, they'll go in and make sure that when the job is done, it's all cleaned and ready to go. And the landscaper, if you will, in charge of that project, his family started the golf course in Owensburg.
Oh, okay.
So he knows a little bit about how to make things look nice.
Yes,
and get it back to where it should be.
So where are you at in this project at Blue Ridge? Are we still at the installation period, or where are we on the timeline?
I think we're probably about a month away from getting our first customers
hooked up online.
Right. Yeah. So, okay.
And then with the eventual finish target date of being sometime in 2015, do you think?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it'll be within the fall.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. Hopefully by Thanksgiving we can, you know, be out.
We're talking with Colin McCarty. He's the Executive Vice President of Smithville Fiber. Once the Blue Ridge project completes, is there another one in the wings that you are interested in working? And you don't have to divulge location, but just curious if there is another one in the works.
Yes.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know the status, but a presentation has been made.
Okay.
And it was a bigger area than we thought at first.
Good.
So, and it's within the city limits. So, the neighborhood associations are starting to chatter if you will, and it's brought them to life, is what I've been told and what I've heard. So we're not done, and it's a matter of managing that project going forward.
One thing before we wrap up here in the show, we've talked about how great wireless technology is. We've seen the Dick Tracy Apple Watch now, where you can look at it and make all of the commands and do all the things that you need to do. How much more is there out there that, I mean, an average guy like me may not even be thinking about? I mean, I can do the Netflix thing and watch the movie virtually instant from when I press play, and it streams over the internet, whatever, but what more is out there that we haven't even tapped into, do you think?
A lot.
Okay.
There is a lot. The wearables, of course, are the next big thing from a consumer standpoint. And I noticed Fitbit has really raised their game. And I think that's probably where you'll see wearables come into play.
Is on the sports for, fitness?
Sports, fitness, health diagnosis in particular, how great that would be for, as an application, let's say, for assisted living, as an example. Because a number of places have been doing research on assisted living and data collection through connectivity, not necessarily over the internet, but connected back to a health facility of some kind or a central location if you're in a housing complex that can help monitor bodily fluids, help monitor a lot of things. There are the sensors out there for electronic health recovery or data that is pretty astounding. So,
and I hate, and I don't mean this crudely, but it you're not being microchipped like you would do a pet that can be scanned. I mean, these are things that you can take on and off, so to speak. It's not well. Some people may think the little bit of there's a little bit of science fiction, and everybody's going to start thinking the same and all that. It's not that at all. It's just these devices exist now that can tell so much about the wearer. It's just amazing.
Yeah, and it's here right now. Whether it's Fitbit or I had a Jawbone, and it could monitor your sleep, patterns, and that seems to be a big application. Even your iPhone or your Android can monitor sleep. I don't know how they do it.
I don't know
it's
either.
Not tagged, you know, but Internet of Things is really the big one though, because that connects all devices. And when I mean devices, I mean this microphone. You could connect this mic to your mic and get analytics on it in terms of, you know, maybe the sound quality is not the same as what is being monitored on your monitor.
Right.
Things like that. You know.
Right.
But
it's just crazy.
Cars are connected. You know, there's discussion and has been for a while. Apple's going to be in the car game. Google is already building its self-driving cars. Well, that's data-driven. No pun intended. But but in some ways it is. It's literal. I mean, you don't drive it. And they're testing them on the public streets right now out in California. Inventory, logistics, huge. Railroads have been using RFID chips for years now to track all their cargo. Amazon, you know, they say now if they know you're interested in something, if you click on one item enough and you haven't bought it, odds are you're going to buy it.
Right.
So they ship that product closer to you. From warehouse to warehouse.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's all, that's really where it's headed. And I think it was Morgan Stanley has estimated it could be about a $17 trillion global market.
Wow.
Internet of Things, yes, IoT.
Internet of Things, wow.
Yes, yes.
Hmm.
So that's the next big thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, now we just have to figure out how to jump on board with it.
Absolutely.
And make a little money like everybody else
to. Yeah, I hear you there.
Colin McCarty's been our guest. He's with Smithville Fiber. Anytime you want to come back, man, much appreciated.
All right,
doors
appreciate
always
the opportunity.
Open. All right, we're going to take a break, come back with more. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Just a few minutes left in the show, so let's get you some highlights here. Friday night, if you're catching us for the live show, just after we wrap up, the Cincinnati Reds are going to be taking on Milwaukee, 7 p.m. tonight. Same thing on 4th of July, 7:15 for the first pitch here on WGCL. Then the Reds are headed out to Washington on, get my dates right, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the 6th, 7th, and 8th, 7 o'clock for all of those. Then on the 9th, 10th, and 11th, 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and 4:10 for those when they travel to Miami. And who wouldn't want to be in Miami in the middle of July? I mean, come on, Miami, middle of July, perfect weather, balmy. But that's another story. I like cold weather. Also, don't forget, this is a little bit ahead of schedule, but WGCLradio.com, we are your home for the Indy 500. We're also the home for the Crown Royal 400. That's taking place Saturday, July 27th. So put that on your calendars coming up in the next few weeks, 12 o'clock for that race right here on WGCL Radio. A couple of Hoosiers, of past Hoosiers, I should say, of note. Will Sheehy is headed down to New Orleans. He's going to be joining the Pelicans, their summer league roster. They're going to play in Las Vegas in the summer league beginning on July 10th. Sheehy began his professional career in Montenegro last season, then parted ways with the team, returned to the U.S., and joined the NBA D League. He was with the Fort Wayne Mad Ants for just 8 games before moving on to the Los Angeles Defenders in February, averaging 9.4 points per game. But now he is headed down to the Big Easy, playing with the Pelicans there. Sheehy's roommate with the Hoosiers, Christian Watford, is going to be playing with the Indiana Pacers this summer. So nice to hear about those guys and their transitions there. Indianapolis Star, big news. Free agent guard Monta Ellis and the Indiana Pacers have agreed to a 4-year deal worth $44 million on Thursday, according to a league source. Now, the deal also gives Ellis, who is 29, a player option in the fourth year, the source confirmed. Chris Broussard of ESPN was first to report the agreement. The Pacers reportedly beat out several other teams interested in Ellis, who's averaged about 19 points and 4.8 assists over his 10-year career. From CBS Sports, Ken Berger, he spoke with Ellis's agent, Jeff Fried, who said Ellis was swayed by Pacers being a, quote, playoff team with a winning culture, and said that Indianapolis's welcoming community was also a factor in the decision. If you don't know much about Ellis, Indiana acquires a dynamic scorer as it looks to reshape its identity into a faster, smaller team. Ellis is only 6'3", but he has traditionally played in the two guard, has carried the offensive load. Last year, he was with the Dallas Mavericks, and he led the team in scoring of about 19 points per game and played with the kind of tempo that the Pacers desire by attempting 37% of his shots in 10 seconds or less in the shot clock. Ellis is married. They came to Indianapolis Wednesday this week and met with Larry Bird, Kevin Pritchard, head coach Frank Vogel. Expected to sign the contract next week at the end of the NBA moratorium period. So this should be a very good advance for the Indianapolis Pacers. We're going to take a break because we are running out of time. Stay with us. Much more here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here, and I guess I have a couple extra minutes more than I thought I originally had, so we will take it for all it's worth as we wrap up the show this week. Thanks again to Cullen McCarty from Smithville Fiber for joining us here in the studio, and for our audience for being patient as we get him rescheduled from last week's appearance. And if you miss any part of the show, again, if you're catching us Friday night, we'll replay Saturday morning at 8 a.m., and then later on, usually midday, we'll have the encore podcast available for you online at WGCLradio.com. Forecast for the weekend is looking pretty darn nice for your Independence Day. Friday night, tonight, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly before 8 p.m., low around 62. Saturday, mostly sunny, high near 81. What more could you ask for? With a light wind, so a nice little breeze if you're downtown for the 4th of July parade. Saturday night, partly cloudy, a low around 62. And then on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 84. All of your weather, all of the time, right here at WGCL Radio and WGCLRadio.com. Let's give you a rundown one more time of what is taking place locally for the fireworks performances. It's not like they're out dancing or anything. For the fireworks exhibits and shows and all of that. So Friday night, tonight, Bloomington Speedway, gates open at 5:30, fireworks show at 9:45 approximately, $15 to get into that. Sherwood Oaks Christian Church, 10 p.m. fireworks show. Their doors open at 7 p.m. They will have food and entertainment throughout the evening. Donations appreciated to cover that. Bring your chairs for the Sherwood Oaks show. Southside Christian Church, That is a 6 p.m. start, and then the fireworks at dusk. I've been to this one before. My buddy Craig has done this for the last several years. Great show down there. They're all good shows. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to knock one or give one preferential treatment, but Southside Christian, very nice event here Friday night. And again, bring some dollars to throw into the bucket and help to offset some of the cost of these pyrotechnics. Saturday, July 4th itself, we have the parade starting at 9 a.m. Downtown 7th Street is where the parade will start. Parade actually starts at 10, but if you want to get there and get a good seat, get there around 9. Bring your lawn chairs, bring your blankets. If the ground's wet, bring a towel or something like that. Bring a couple of trash bags to throw underneath your towel, so that way you're not getting soaked when you sit down on the ground. Parade starts at 10 a.m. will make its way up to the Kirkwood area in front of Fountain Square Mall. Then, once the parade is done, you can head up to the Bloomington Elks Lodge for their annual fish fry. That starts at 11 o'clock Saturday morning, the 4th, and will go until about 2 p.m. or until all the fish is gone. Monroe County Fairgrounds, their gates open at 6 p.m. They will have food available starting about 7:15, fireworks at dusk. And this is a donation option as well if you come out to that show. Then over in Ellettsville, Saturday night at the Edgewood High School football field, the show will begin around dusk. Admission free. Bring your donations, though. Salisbury show is tonight, Friday night in Greene County. Fireworks display will begin about 10 p.m. And take your time with that one, especially getting out, because a lot of people do head to Salisbury, and it's a great show, but it is tough to get in and out, so be prepared for that when you head to Greene County. Saturday in Nashville, the Brown County Lions Club, they have their fireworks display at dusk at the Brown County High School football field, free of charge, but bring your donations. And then the Linton-Stockton Chamber of Commerce, the annual Linton Freedom Festival is all this weekend. They have a parade as well, and then their fireworks will be going on at about 10:30 at Linton City Park. Again, all of this we'll have up online at facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview. So make sure that you check that out, like us, follow us, all of that, so that if you miss any part of what we shared with you, that you can go and get the information right there on Facebook. That's pretty much wrapping up the show. If I could get my computer to do what it needs to do. There we go. But again, thanks again to Cullen McCarty for joining us this week, and a lot of good information about that. Cullen's a good guy, has a lot of experience on the communications field, and to talk about what he does in Washington, D.C., and what he is bringing back to Bloomington and Monroe County and to Ellettsville for our residents, I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. Sometimes you forget that little device that you call your grandmother on and you text on does so many things that 20 years ago people didn't even imagine. So the connectivity option, pretty wow, I have to say. Again, have a very safe and happy 4th of July this weekend. Make sure that you go out and make it a good experience with it, and we will talk to you next week. Have a great one, everybody. Bye-bye.